Eisenberg, Parshas Nitzavim.
Good morning. Let me just check. During the Yemei Slichos, the timings are the same till 10 to. Yeah, okay, very good. Right. Not last Thursday night, but the Thursday night before that, I received a phone call from Menachem David, and he calls me up and he says, could you speak this week? How about Sunday morning? And I said to him, I said, look, I could try to speak for Sunday morning, but to be quite honest with you, my Shver is very ill, and I'm not sure where he's holding, and the last thing I'd want to do to you is pull out on you on Sunday morning when you have about 15 minutes to find somebody else to speak. So, Bless Mary says, you know what, I'm not willing to take the risk, you go ahead. Do whatever you need to do, and we'll find somebody else to speak, which he did. But we've had a phone call. In the meantime, that was the right decision. Menachem Asher was nifter last Sunday, and this year should be an Ilui Neshama for him. And in a way, when I got another phone call from Menachem David this past Thursday night, so I felt two things. Number one, I could redeem myself for the shiur that I gave last week. And number two, it also gave me the opportunity to prepare a little bit for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But I felt that with everything that had been going on the entire few weeks, I wasn't fully prepared for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So I'd like to thank you also for giving me this opportunity to have a bit of preparation for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. I'd like to speak a little bit about the halachas of Musaf. Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. So as we all know, Shachris is like any other Shachris of Yom Tov. Of course, yes, it'll have its changes. You'll have Ochein Ten Pachtecha, and you have Melech HaKadosh, and all the other bits and pieces. We'll serve L'chaim Tovim, Ochein L'chaim. All that, I think we've discussed once in the Shir. If you want, you can go back to the archives. You'll find the Shir. We discussed what happens if you leave them out, what happens if you didn't say Melech HaKadosh, if you didn't say Ochein L'chaim. That's all, I think, been discussed already. But in general, Shachris has the same format as any other Shabbos or Yom Tov Shachris, which is seven brachas. The three at the beginning and the three at the end are always the same. Avos Gvuras Kedusha, and at the end would say, which is Avoida, Hoida, Moidim, and Shalom, Sim Shalom. Those are always going to be the same. And then the only discussion is what goes in the middle. So on Shabbos, you're going to have a bracha in the middle, Me'ein Shabbos. On Yom Tov, it's Me'ein Yom Tov. And Rosh Hashanah, obviously, it's going to be made Rosh Hashanah. So Shachris follows that pattern. However, Musaf is different. Musaf, under normal circumstances, also follows that pattern. So that on Shachris, the normal tefillahs, the way it works with Shachris, and this also reflects itself in when you make a mistake in Shachris. What happens, there's lots of questions and lots of discussions about this. What happens on Shabbos morning when you're davening and you finish Okel HaKadosh and you're still totally asleep, or you're totally in La La Land, or you're spaced out, then suddenly you realize there's somebody banging your chest, only to realize you actually reached Slachlonu on Shabbos. Yeah? It's happened to people. The standard thing to do once you've done Slachlonu once is you start itching yourself, because you don't want the people around you to think that you're up to Slachlonu, so you're just making out and say, no, I have a bit of pain over here on my chest. Yeah? But the bottom line is, you've started Slachlonu, so is brought in Tosfos and Brachos, I think in other places, that when Chazal made the system of Shmona Esrei, of Shabbos, really on Shabbos you could have also said the other Brachos. However, Chazal wanted to go easy on you, so therefore they got rid of the chiyuv of the other brachos, atochoinein, and hashiveinu, and slachlonu, etc. You don't have to say them. However, if you've started a bracha already, you finish that bracha, and then you move on to where you were up to, and you speak about kedusha sayyid. Musaf has a different format, Be'etzim, because Musaf is not the format of the regular Shmona Esrei. You never have a regular Shmona Esrei. So much so that if by Musaf you're spaced out and you find yourself in the middle of Atochoinen or Hashiveinu, as opposed to Shachris where you're supposed to do what? Finish the bracha. By Musaf you don't finish the bracha. It doesn't belong there. By Shachris we can say Atochoinen belongs there. Chazal said I don't need to say it Beseder, but it really belongs there. So if I've started already, I should finish the bracha. I shouldn't just stop and say half a bracha. Whereas by Musaf has the format of, again, three brachas in the beginning, three brachas in the end, the same always. And normally, the Musaf that we have any other time of year except for Yom Noraim, where the middle bracha speaks about the fact that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and we speak about the Korbonos Musafim, because one of the manorim is Tfilah Kenegel Korbonos Tikkun, that Tfilah was the takana of Tvila, the creation of Tvila was instead of the Karbonos. So this is instead of the extra Karbonos that you would have on special days. Musaf, Miloshen, Noisaf, extra. The extra Karbonos. So these are the extra Karbonos that we mentioned, the Karbonos Musaf that were brought on specific days. Musaf of Rosh Hashanah is a bit different in that. Because Musaf Rosh Hashanah has nine brachas, as we know, famous Gemara. We said, Imru lefonei malchiyos, say before me malchiyos, kedei shetam lichuni aleichem melech, so that you should make me into king. Imru lefonei zichroinois, say before me zichroinois, remembrances of Klal Yisrael, kedei sheyale zichroinechem letoiva, so that your remembrance should come before me in a positive way. Uvameh. And what should you use in order to do that? A shofar. So that's Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. Those are the three sets of brachos. There's a discussion whether Kedushas Hayoim about Rosh Hashanah is included or not included with the brachos. Lemaisa, we have the Karbonos of Musafim together with Malchios. It's all one big bracha, and then we have Zichronos and Shofros, which gives us a sum total of nine brachos. And the nine brachos, even though there's a machlokes about this, the bottom line is la halacha, we say the nine brachos not only in the repetition of the shkazim, but rather also in the Shmon Esrei out loud. How about the psukim of the Korban Musaf? According to the Sephardim, where the Shulchan Aruch writes over here in Siman Tov Kuf Tzadik Aleph Sif Beis, Sephardim do not mention the psukim of Musaf at all. I don't know if there's any. Where's our friend? Pardon? Not well. Right. Because, you know, whenever we have Svarish Akashas, he's always there to fill in the details. Okay. Any other Svarim in the room? Anybody else Svarim? No. Okay. The minority I see over here. So, according to Shulchan Aruch at least, so I wouldn't call myself in any level or stretch of the imagination an expert in what Sephardim hold, so it could be that they have more contemporary Sephardi poskim that say that they do, and I've never been to daven in a real mokum of Sephardim on Rosh Hashanah, so I can't really vouch for this. But according to Shulchan Aruch, at least, Sephardim do not say the psukim of Musaf at all, whereas according to Ashkenazim, we say the psukim of Musaf. However, when we mention the psukim of Musaf, the only psukim that we mention are the psukim of Rosh Hashanah. We do not mention the psukim of Rosh Chodesh. Remember, Rosh Hashanah actually has a double Yom Tov over here. It's Rosh Chodesh as well as Rosh Hashanah. But we want to go ahead and we want to make a big deal out of Rosh Hashanah and not so much of a deal out of Rosh Chodesh. We don't want anybody going ahead and saying, oh, it's also Rosh Chodesh. Therefore, Rosh Chodesh fades into the background so that we don't mention Rosh Chodesh at all. Normally we would. All the psukim of Musaf, as you know, come from the Pasha of Pinchas, From Chamishi onwards, you start Korban Tomei, then you have Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. You go through it, that's the laning. And we always lane those psukim. You will not see those psukim of Rosh Hashem, Nakriu, Elol Hashem, you won't find. You'll only find of Yom HaZikaron, that you'll find in the Shemana Esrei. Another reason why we don't mention Rosh Chodesh in Shemana Esrei is that... Pardon? Yeah, we're getting to that. We do say Mabad. That's our token. Yeah, we will get to that. So, but we don't mention the actual psukim. It's not that we ignore it, but the actual psukim will not be said. And the other reason why we don't mention the psukim of Rosh Chodesh is actually a very interesting thing. And it has to do with the calendar. As the calendar works, you have Chodesh Mole, Chodesh Chosa. A month is 29 days and 12 hours and 793 chalokim, as far as I remember. A month, that's how long every month is, in general. However, if that's the length of a month, 29 and a half days and 793 chalokim, we cannot make Rosh Chodesh at one point, here's the chalik, now you make Rosh Chodesh. Rather, we have months and whole days, which means you have 29 and a half days on average. What we do with the 793 chalokim, leave that up to the people that make the calendars. But what we have on average is 29 and a half days a month, which means that in some months the month will be a Chodesh Chosar 29 days, and in some months the Chodesh will be Chodesh Maleh 30 days. In general, we go back and forth. It's one and one, so that Nisan is always going to be Maleh, Sivan is going to be Chosar. I'm sorry, Nisan's going to be Mole, Ir is going to be Chosar, Sivan's going to be Mole, Tammuz Chosar, Av Mole, Elul Chosar, Tishrei Mole, and here comes the 2 months that are up for question. There are short years in which Cheshvan and Kislev have both 29 days. There are long years in which Cheshvan and Kislev have both 30 days, and there are some years where Cheshvan and Kislev follow the same pattern, so that Cheshvan will have 29 and Kislev will have 30, continuing with Teves being 29, Shvat being 30, and Adar being 29. And therefore, the amount of days possible in a year is 353, 354, and 355. If anybody asks you how many different types of years you can have, those are the three standard years you can have without any Ibayot. Okay? All depending on whether you have a month of 2 times 29 in Cheshvan and Kislev, 2 times 30 in Cheshvan and Kislev will give you 355, a regular year will give you 354. Now, therefore, a regular year, in a regular Rosh Chodesh, which day is the most important day of Rosh Chodesh in a 2-day Rosh Chodesh? The second day. Right? Because that's really when it is Rosh Chodesh. The first day has just been schlepped around. We had 2 days of Rosh Chodesh because sometimes with the mail and other things, we have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. But really, the main day is the second day. And therefore, if we were to go ahead and make Rosh Chodesh a central point of Musaf, what people would therefore say is what? What's the most important day of Rosh Hashanah? The second day. Because Rosh Hashanah is like a Rosh Chodesh. And therefore, if you're looking at Rosh Hashanah like Rosh Chodesh, and then whenever you have a 2-day Rosh Chodesh, we always say the more important day is the second day Rosh Chodesh. That's the main day Rosh Chodesh. We don't want anybody making the same mistake with Rosh Hashanah. Specifically, as we mentioned before, Elul, in our calculations and computations of the calendar, Elul is always, always Chosar. You will never have a case where Elul will have 30 days. In the olden days, when they were Mekadosh L'Chodesh through Re'ir, through Edom, it was possible for Elul to have 30 days. But now that we have a standardized calendar, Elul will always have 29 days only. Therefore, people will say, but well, there's 2 days Yom Tov. So the 31st day of Rosh Hashanah is day 30 of Elul. Second day of Rosh Hashanah is the first day of Tishra. And the second day of Rosh Hashanah being the second day of Rosh Chodesh is the more important day. Don't want anybody to make that mistake. So we don't say the psukim of Rosh Chodesh. However, as was mentioned before already, we include Rosh Chodesh. We say Es Musfei Rosh Hashanah Zeh, because Musfei being in plural, including not only Rosh Hashanah, including Rosh Chodesh as well. And the other thing is we say Milvat Olas HaChodesh HaMinchasa VeLas HaTomim Minchasa. We see that already in the Psukim. If you look in Pashas, Pimchas, you'll find after he brings the Psukim of the Korbanos, he'll say, Milvad, except for, that's the final Pasuk in the Pasha of Rosh Hashanah, and you'll hear it in the Leining, Milvad Oilas HaChodeshim in Chasa, except for, not including the Oila of Rosh Chodesh and the Minchas that went with it, the Oilas HaTamidu in Chasa, and the Oilas HaTamidu and Mincha that came with it as well. So that's what we normally do. Okay? Now, Malchias, Achronis, and Shofars, we say 10 Psukim in each one of them. 3 of the Torah, then 3 of Ksuvim, 3 of Nevi'im, and back to 1 Pasuk in the Torah. Why do we say 10 Psukim? So it brings 3 reasons over here. One is because there's 10 Psukim in the Hallelujah of Hallelujah Kael B'Kotchoi. You should praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu in His holiness. So connect that, or connect the Aseres HaDibros, or connect the Asar Mamar Shanibra B'Malam. So we have 3 reasons why we say 10 Psukim. What happens if you're mashing with Nevi'im? So you have 3, 3, and 3, and then instead of the last one of the Torah, you're mashing with Nevi'im, you're Yotze. So I'll mention that as a, you know, before we get to that and explain that further, I'll mention as an aside that nowadays we have set Psukim. If I were to say to you which Psukim are Malchias and which ones are Zechariah, Zechariah, and Shofars, you would tell me straightforward. You remember exactly what it is in Malchias. Especially those people that Bali Tvila, they know all the Psukim by heart already. And even those that aren't, they've been davening, Baruch Hashem, they've been davening 20, 30, 50 years, they've been davening already Musaf. It's something that's etched on their mind. However, it seems that the Psukim are not really etched in stone. And it was possible in the olden days for people to use their own Psukim. So much so that there's Halach and Shulchan Aruch that you cannot use a Pasuk. Shulchan Aruch says in Halacha, hey, you're not allowed to say a pasuk in Malchias or in Zechariah of Shofars of Puronius Shel Yisrael. Any pasuk that mentions anything negative that has happened to Klal Yisrael, ve'ein amin pasuk Zechariah Shel Yochid, and you don't say a pasuk of Zechariah that will be a remembrance of a single person, rather than the entirety of the world and the entirety of the Jewish people. It's interesting because we speak about Yisrael came as Noach. Remember Noach, but I guess it's not only Noach, but he remembered Noach and whoever was with Noach, and since Noach, there was only 9 people in the world over then at the time, so maybe remembering Noach is considered remembering a very, very large percentage of the entire population, as opposed to having a zikaron of anybody else. But it's interesting, as you see this halacha over here, it would seem that we could really choose other psukim. If you found another pasuk that suited you better for Zechariah or for Malchias or Shofars, you could really choose another pasuk. And therefore we have to say, yes, you can choose another pasuk, but within choosing the other psukim, you have to know there's limitations. Can't choose everything. Can't just decide, this is what I'm going to say or that's what I'm going to say. These are the limitations within the psukim that you're allowed to choose. So therefore you have 3 of the Torah, 3 of Tzuvim, 3 of Nevi'im, and then 1 of the Torah again. If you're mashing with one from Nevi'im, you're Yotze as well. Not only that, he brings over here in the Rambam, Im lo hischa b'shum pasuk rak amar v'saras v'kos of lemar yotzim. Interestingly enough, if you didn't mention any of the psukim, you just said, but the Torah tells you a pasuk about Zechariah, or the Torah tells you a pasuk about Shofras or Malchias, that's good enough. Why, I'm not sure, but that's what it seems to say, that you could just go ahead and you can say v'saras v'kos of lemar, and that will be in lieu of actually saying the pasuk. Okay. Now, however, obviously the Magen Avraham says that there's only b'diyavad l'chatchila. Of course, you should say all the psukim. Yeah, and that will apply not only with Sarasu Kosev Leima, but he brings also that when you say with Yirei Kachacho or Vayidei Avachan Avim, referring to Ksuvim, referring to Nevi'im, as well. If you didn't say the psukim b'diyavad, you're still yotze with that. Okay. Now, the last pasuk of Shofars is an interesting pasuk. There's a discussion about this in the Gemara and Sukkah as well, when you speak about how many Shofars you blew, how many times you blew in the Beis HaMikdash. The final pasuk of Shofars is which one? Who's the Bali Musaf over here? Pardon? Yeah. Over here, Mishim Chaschem and Mayadechem, Roshay Chachechem, Uskatem Achatzai Sois, Aloy Lezechem, Azif Keshamechem. Right? Right? That's when we speak about the chatzotzos that Moshe Rabbeinu made. Moshe Rabbeinu made trumpets. Parshas Baalos, so we read about the trumpets that Moshe Rabbeinu made. to bring together people and to call together the Kehanim, or call together Rosh Ha'om, or call together the entire people, whatever it is. So you blow the Chatzroses, and then the final pasuk says, "Of Yom Simchas Mumayadechem," and the days of your happiness and the days of your coming together, Yom Tovim, of Rosh Chodeshem, Uskatem Chatzroses. You should blow these Chatzroses. So you're talking about blowing what? Trumpets. We're not talking about shofars. Yeah. So he says, "Im kol zeh, you're not masking shofars in the Shulchan Aruch." Nevertheless, the Rosh and the Ran kosa the kaim a minig, and that is our minig. We do say uskatem machatzoytzus. Okay. Now, if you're in a place with a minion, you should very much try to daven with a minion if you can. Obviously, specifically considering that's Rosh Hashanah. I don't think anybody here, unless they really, really could not make it to shul, would consider davening b'yichidus. But what happens if you cannot get to shul, or you're in a place without a minyan? What time should you be davening? So here, the Shulchan Aruch brings a very, very important thing in Sifches, Tavkuf Tzadik Av Sifches. A person should not daven Tfilas Musaf b'yochir on Rosh Hashanah until after the third hour in the day. Why is that? Because in general, most people are not davening b'ashkama, and most people are not davening musaf yet until that point, 3 hours into the day. And therefore, if you're going to be davening musaf and nobody else is going to be davening musaf, that is not a very good omen. And there's actually a very important nekuda over here, and this is a nekuda to be remembered maybe for the entirety of the Aseret Yemei Teshuva and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And that is, you want to be schlepped around with the tzibur. Okay? So for example, if you have somebody that wants to make their way, let's talk migrants maybe. You know, you have somebody that wants to make their way into the UK. They're not going to try to sit down in a car with another passenger and make their way through. Because as they come through, one at a time, you look at the car, you open up the passenger car and you say, "Passport please." You pull out a passport, the guy next to you goes, "Khonisht," or pull out a Syrian passport. What are they going to do? Get to the back of the line. Yeah, we don't want you, you're not an asylum seeker, you're coming for this, you're coming for that, send them home. What's the way you want to do it? You want to smuggle yourself in on the Eurotrain, or on one of the ferries. Because the ferry's not bringing over two people. Because when you bring over two people, it's very, very easy. You see everybody's passport. When you bring a ferry with 100 or 1,000 people, or you bring a big one of these Eurotunnel trains, and there's 1,000 people on the train, so they don't check everybody's passport. They're not looking. Then there'll be skira achas. Sometimes a guy comes on the bus in the olden days when you had to, probably happens today also, I don't know, I've never been to Poland or Ukraine or Lithuania. Anybody been to one of these trips to Poland or Lithuania and you travel from one border to the next and you want to go from one to the other? They check everyone's passport, or they just go on the bus and they look around and look at the passports and they mamish go through every single person? Yeah? Why should they go through everyone? Pardon? Depends which country. But if you're coming through, usually if you're coming through on a bus or something, and there's 50, 60 people, or you're going on a train, and there's so many people. I remember we used to go skiing. This is the European thing to do. You came on Ben Azman in Pesach time, Chas Hashem, you should help your parents, you should go ski. That's the right thing to do. I need to be out of my parents' way. That's the nice way of saying it. So he used to take a train at night, he'd take a sleeper train from Vienna into Switzerland. I went with friends, so when you took the sleeper train Vienna to Switzerland, so they were crossing the border Chmeis 3-4 o'clock in the morning, they weren't going to wake up the entire train, because there were beds in the sleeper train, so they weren't going to wake up the entire train. What they were going to do is the guy in charge, the conductor, took the passports off everyone, and you went through. But I'm guessing, I don't think that train stopped at the border. I was never up at 3 o'clock in the morning to really, have a look around. But I doubt the train stopped at the border and went through and knocked through everybody. They looked through at all the passports. They knew how many people were on board. They knew they had all the passports to everybody. And that's really what we're trying to do, maybe on Yom Kippur as well, on Rosh Hashanah as well. You want to turn around to Kosh Baruch and say, "Kosh Baruch, look at me. Here, look, I have grace and schusim. I'm the man that you want to have a look at." Kosh Baruch says, "Me itzaklef anach kochay." On your own, you don't stand a chance. On your own, if HaKadosh Baruch is going to look at you and say, "Who are you? Who do you think you are?" And the more you think you have what to show to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more HaKadosh Baruch is going to look at you and say, "Let's look through it properly. Let's do a proper accounting." If you want to say, "Look, as myself, not much to show. But I'm on a train with a whole bunch of chavra. You're not going to stop the entire train now." No, okay, so everybody through. You want to go through with everybody. You want to be sort of waved through on that train with the other 150 people on the train. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu shouldn't be looking at every single passport at once. You're davening on your own on Rosh Hashanah. And you're davening without a minyan, and you're davening at a time when nobody else is davening. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I mean, it sounds strange, obviously, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do this anytime. When everybody else stops in fourth or the fifth hour, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know how to take everybody else into account. It's not like he has got a limited staff. This is not a border crossing at Calais where we only have so many people watching. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do anything. But the mahalach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it seems to be, if you include yourself with the tzibur, which is what we're trying to do, include yourself with the tzibur, don't look at me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm with everybody else, we're going together as a tzibur. You include yourself with everybody else, you stand a chance. You don't include yourself with everybody else, you want to be sort of suspicious, you want people to be looking at you and obtrusive. So, you stand out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to look at you. So you don't want to daven then. You want to daven after the third hour. So this way you've already davened, you've already made sure that you're davening with everybody else, you're not davening on your own, and then your tefillahs will go through with everybody else. Yimitz Hashem. What about Shachris? Shachris, people daven before then. So you don't have to worry about Shachris as much. People will normally be davening Shachris during the third hour, unless you know you live in a place where people daven Shachris early, Bashkoma. Let's say you live in a place where there's only one or two minyanim and they daven nets, and you're going to be davening Shachris now at 8, 9 o'clock when everybody else has finished Shachris already, you run the same risk. Because again, you're davening on your own and the whole tzibur is davening already. So you don't want to do that. You want to make sure you're included with everybody else, and this way if you're included with everybody else, that's the easiest way to do things. And obviously this is talking about only a yochid, this is not talking about a tzibur. A tzibur that wants to daven can daven whenever they want to, because they are tzibur. So you take a minyan, you can make hashkama minyan, you can make a 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, you can make a minyan whenever you want to. Obviously, you know, try to stick within the Zmanei Kriyashma. It's not such a good thing on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur not to make Zman Kriyashma. You know, there seem to be certain days where Zman Kriyashma should be very, very vital, at least on these days. So you can daven whenever you want to, because you're davening with the tzibur. So that Kodesh Baruch Hu is looking at you within the tzibur framework, as opposed to you as a yochid. Then you stand a good chance. Okay, that's all. Now the silent Shemoneh Esrei. Now we move on to the Chazar Seshatz.
In the
Nusach
Sfar,
yes.
Is that part of you giving the same?
No, I think the reason there is because they blow the shofar. No, so I think that has to do with it, that has to do more with that the shofar should go, that the blowing of the shofar in the quiet Shemoneh Esrei should go back on the Malchus that you've just said. So if you're holding someone's Zechorinus and Shofarus when everybody else is still saying Malchus and they blow Shofarus, and then the shofar blowing that they're doing then is not going on your Malchus. You want that the shofar blowing in the quiet Shemoneh Esrei should go on the Malchus that you said, and on Zechorinus and on the Shofarus. That's why they tried to keep it within a certain amount of time, and that everybody should be dominating Malchus, Zechorinus, and Shofarus at the same time, so that the Tkiya Shofar that they do in the silent Shemoneh Esrei should coincide with the part of the Tvila that you're just up to. But, I mean, because it doesn't really matter, because once you're davening together, in order to be Tvila B'Tzibur, the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah writes this in I think, Simon Tzadik in Chelek Aleph, he said, Tvila B'Tzibur, people make a mistake when it comes to Tvila B'Tzibur. Tvila B'Tzibur is not that there are 10 people in the room davening. That's not good enough. So let's say you're davening and you get to Shemoneh Esrei, and there's 3 or 4 people up to Shemoneh Esrei, and you're davening very, very quickly, and everybody else is still in the middle of Shema. That doesn't count as Tefillah B'Tzibur. Tefillah B'Tzibur means that there are 10 people starting Shemoneh Esrei together at the same point, and that's counted as Tefillah B'Tzibur. So the same would be true here as well. If you start in Shemoneh Esrei at the same point, the fact that you're still in Malchus and the guy who's really schlepping is still in Mogen Avram, and the guy who's really quick is already finishing Shofarus, that's still called Tefillah B'Tzibur. Each one is davening in there at their pace. But for the Tkiya Shofar to be specifically on the Psukim, that's different. I think there seems to be some kind of brisker chumra about that also. I'm not sure that the briskers are very, very careful to hear specifically the Chazan saying all the words of Malchus, Zechorinus, and Shofarus, and that people shouldn't sing along, so that they should have heard the Malchus from the Chazan, and then the Shofar blowing is going to go on the Malchus. If they miss the words, they're not so happy with that.
You can start when there are six in a row.
I'm sorry?
Can you say something? The shots from Shabbos, yeah, there are six people.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay, that's the repetition. That's already not Tefillah B'Tzibur. The Tefillah B'Tzibur is defined as when you start the silent Shemon Esrei. With the repetition, there's already a discussion. Officially, you know, if you don't have nine that are answering, then the Shemon
Esrei.
No,
I'm saying that Shemon Esrei.
Yes.
Say, the Shemon Esrei. Wait until say there are six people about that thing.
That's not enough. That's not enough, six. For the Shtil Shemon Esrei, that's not enough. Pardon me. Just for the repetition, a lot of people say six is enough and you don't have to wait for nine. And sometimes when you're in a minyan, that's a minyan mitzumsen, there's only 10. And you have two guys that are going to be davening Shemon Esrei for another 10 minutes and everybody else has to go. It becomes untenable to wait for everybody to finish Shemon Esrei. Pardon? Yeah, okay, very good, untenable. Okay, good, so good. Okay. Chazaz Ashatz. Shukrach and Ramah have different minhagim about the tkiyas and Chazaz Ashatz, and we don't do either of the minhagim, neither the Shukrach nor the Ramah. The Shukrach and Tavkuf Tzadik Grace brings two mahalchim. Number one, what he says that you blow Tashrat, Kirshvan Truat Kir in Malchus, Tashat, Kirshvan Kir in Zechoinus, and Tarat in Shoifus, which would then give you a sum total of 10 Tekirs in the middle of Shemona Esrei. Alternatively, he says you blow after Malchus 3 times Tashrat, then after Zechoinus 3 times Tashat, and after Shoifus 3 times Tarat, which would give you 30 tkiyas, because now it's 3 times tkiyashvan tru tkiyas 4, tkiyashvan tkiyas 3, tkiyah tru tkiyas 3, 4, 3 and 3 is 10, 3 times that, but the way it's split up, that's the two ways that the Shulchan Aruch means. The Ramah says that what you do is you should blow tkiyashvan tru tkiyah in each one of them. The Mishnah Berurah says the reason for that is that we don't want to be matriach the tzibur. I mean, it doesn't take, you know. Sometimes you read these things and then you find, so you don't want to be matriach the tzibur, you're davening for 6, 7, 8 hours. The 10 minutes would have made the difference here or there. Yeah, sometimes they say something similar, that the reason uvala tzirin is by mincha and Shabbos and not by shachris is because they didn't want to be matriach the tzibur, they should say uvala tzirin on Shabbos morning. Shabbos morning davening also, 2, 2.5 hours, depending where you daven. I don't think the Uval Tzion takes that long that it would have really made the difference. But it's a concession, I guess. The Mishnah Berurah says also that here's the concession that they made. You shouldn't blow Tashrat, Tashat, and Tarat, because it's a Tircha. And as we know, you need to hear 30 Tekiyas, and you've heard 30 already before Shemona Esrei. So you've already been Yoytze. So now what? You're blowing during Shemona Esrei. That's extra blowings. So therefore, we blow Tekiyah, Shvarim, Tru, Tekiyah. The reason we blow the way we blow is because we have a suffix. Because it says that trua, what is a trua? So some say it's yivav and some say it's yilala. Some say it's 3 short cries or many, many little cries. So there's 3 medium cries like the shvarim, or it's both. And therefore we blow, and it needs to have a tkiyah before and a tkiyah after. You blow tkiyah, then shvarim trua tkiyah, or tkiyah and shvarim tkiyah, or tkiyah trua tkiyah, and that's all the different permutations and combinations that are possible for being yoytze. You've done that already. Now you're just going to blow tkiyah, shvarim trua tkiyah. So it says either tkiyah, shvarim tkiyah, or tkiyah trua tkiyah, or tkiyah shvarim trua tkiyah. You've been yoytze all of them. So what's the problem? That you might have blown tkiyah, really what you might have to blow is tkiyah, shvarim tkiyah, and you put a trua between the shvarim and the tkiyah. So it says because you were yoytze already, they weren't matriach you, with that you could be yoytze, and that's what the Ramah holds. We paskin like the shlah, the Shabur brings a shlah that says we do tkiyah, shvarim trua tkiyah, tkiyah, shvarim tkiyah, tkiyah trua tkiyah, in each one of them, of Malchus, Achranus, and Shoifus, that's the minhag by us, by the Ashkenazim. And afterwards, you say, Hayoyim Aras Oilam, and Aresha Sefoseinu, and on Shabbos, you only say, Hayoyim Aras Oilam, but you will not say, Aresha Sefoseinu. Hayoyim Aras Oilam speaks that today is the day that the world was created. So if you say that the world was created in Tishrei, very good. And if you say the world was created in Nisan, but in Tishrei, all of the Machshava that Kadosh Baruch Hu thought about creating the world, so it still is appropriate to say, Hayoyim Aras Oilam, today is the creation of the world. You should stand during the Tekiyas of the Shemona Esrei, and they're called actually the Tekiyas Nemu'umud, these Tekiyas. However, b'di'evet, you do not have to stand. Why? Because you already yoytze your mitzvah Tekiyas with the Tekiyas before. The Tekiyas before Shemona Esrei. So you should stand during those. And we do stand during those. Even though they're called Kiyas Demi Yushev, officially those are called Kiyas Demi Yushev, and only the Kiyas and Shmoneh Esrei are called Kiyas Demi Umid. Nevertheless, we stand even during the Kiyas Demi Yushev, and this way, it's better. But we stand then, and then you shouldn't. You don't have to stand if you're not in the koyach. But the other you can sit down. But avada, you should try and stand during the tkiyas. When it comes to a yochid should not blow shofar during the sign Shemoneh Esrei that he's davening, because he was already yotze with the tkiyas that he had before Shemoneh Esrei, and we don't want him to blow tkiyas in his own Shemoneh Esrei. When somebody's a chazan, he's leaning a tzibur, then that's the minig of nusach svar that they blow during the sign Shemoneh Esrei. That's fine. But if the fellow's davening at home by himself, he shouldn't blow the shofar over there. Just two or three more halachas. Number one, you shouldn't speak until you've heard 100 koilas, 100 blasts. But yebed, if you've spoken anywhere in between, you don't need another bracha. Similar to, he brings a comparison to the bracha of Hamaitzi. You made a bracha of Hamaitzi. We don't say that you have to keep quiet the entire Sunnah. You ever been to somebody's house for Shabbos and they start to make hamotzi and everybody sits around very, very quietly? Imagine going through the entire Suda in silence all the way through to the end and then benching and say, okay, now we can have a conversation. You'd feel rather awkward. That's not how we do it. You make a bracha of hamotzi. You eat the bread immediately. And if you were to interrupt between hamotzi and eating the bread, obviously, yes, there you would have to make another bracha. And similarly with shofar, if you were to make the bracha on shofar and interrupt between the bracha and the first blowing of the shofar, you would need to make another bracha. Once you have already gotten into that, so then you shouldn't, then that's not a problem, then you can interrupt. But the chatchila, you shouldn't speak. Not during the 100 Kaila, not during the Tkiyas to Miyushov, not Tkiyas to Miyumid, and not during the Tkiyas afterwards. People usually have the minhag not to speak until after the 100 Kailas. But again, b'diavad, once you've heard one blow of the shofar and you've spoken, your yaitse, you don't need to make another bracha. If you spoke during the Tkiyas and missed some of the Tkiyas, you should have somebody blow those tkiyas for you again. And if you spoke during one of the tkiyas and you missed, let's say, a shvarim in the middle, so then you'd need that entire set because you missed that tkiyah, shvarim, tkiyah. You can't get a tkiyah before a tkiyah after without a shvarim in the middle. So you'd really need an entire set. Not only that, he says you should be very careful when not only not to talk during the tkiyas, but even more than that, you have to be careful that some people that have colds or that have coughs or that have other annoying habits that make the people sitting next to them make it difficult for them during Shemoneh Esrei and during Chazar Sashatz. If you have one of those habits, please during Tkiyas Shofar try to control yourself so that people sitting next to you actually are able to hear the shofar and not your shofar in form of your nose or not your coughing or anything else that you need to do. Okay, one last halacha: if you need to do, you can switch the Baal Tkiyah. But better not to switch the Baal Tekiyah in the middle. You should try to keep the same Baal Tekiyah all the way through. That's all we have time for as of now. I wish you all a Ksima Ksima Teva and a good Kiven Shtar.